Mm, good, my mouth's full. I'd like to welcome everyone to the February 17th work session of the City Council meeting. And our first and only item is discussion of City Council budget priorities and objectives for the fiscal year 2026-2027. And we'll let Ken lead this.
Yeah, I'm not, wow, that's loud. I'm not gonna talk very long because this is your time, but this is as we discussed and agreed as a group, this will be one of several work sessions that we conduct on the fiscal year budget, upcoming budget. And so tonight, this is your time, not your only time, but a great opportunity for you to help the city staff and your colleagues know what's important to you in the upcoming budget year. And we know a lot about what is important to you from previous meetings and discussions with you. I think most of the staff is aware of what you talk about in various forms in your committees. And so some budgetary priorities come out of those committees. Some have come out of these meetings at council meeting. We always make note of those. I included in your materials just some reports that we had previously generated out of the retreat that we held last August. And so the council did identify some priorities. Some of those priorities have, since August, have resulted in some action items. For example, the city app, which we're working on, and the technology to alert the public to train delays. Those are two examples of things that we discussed in the meetings last year that have shown up on the action item. So, and there's others. But anyway, that's, I think I just hoped that you would come prepared. And this, again, is not your only opportunity. We're going to have lots of budget meetings. So if you miss something or you think of something later, this is not say it now or forever hold your peace. With that, I think I'll just turn it over to you, Mayor, however you want to lead this discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. I guess I'll lead out. Is that okay? But I'll have to go to my notes. The first thing I want to say, and as part of it's my nature of scarcity in the world, and I think it's growing up in the Great Basin. You know, if you plant something, if you plant a seed in the ground and ignore it, it'll die. Where most places on earth, it would flourish. But we're in the middle of the far and away the most expensive thing we've ever done as a city. And so I've been throwing out, like, my main concern is paying the bills going forward. Having said that, I did make a couple of what I called my budget wish. If I said signage in all its glory, our roundabout signs are dead or crumbling. And I don't know that we should replace them. But, for example, on, I'll call it the Eagle Ridge roundabout, there's also a city sign down below on Highway 89. To me, it makes more sense to replace that with an electronic sign so everyone on Highway 89 sees it. Of course, it'd have to be two-sided. And I think the same thing, we could go to Redwood Road rather than in the Foxborough roundabout. You know, we get more signs there. Also, I'll throw the trails in. I know we've talked a lot about signage in the trails and that. And monument signs, just to identify things. You know, we've done some in the parks and that, but So just overall signage, and as I do a quick calculation in my head, though, that's we're well over 100,000 if we do these. The other item I put down, I've had a request from our food bank to do more than just have our kids go gather food. They would like some donations. And we do a lot of these, you know, 5,000 type things. So I'm not opposed to putting in something for our food bank. And that's all. We shouldn't do anything else the rest of the year. But I am open to your suggestions. So, Suzette, let's go to you.
Well, I have to apologize because somehow I missed that. Rather than talking about the priorities that we had listed in the packet, that we were coming with our new this year's priorities. So I am not prepared.
Well, I would start off by saying that your last year's list still needs to be done.
Yeah, and so I was thinking we were going to be discussing that and maybe giving Heidi an opportunity to come with her list, but I didn't come prepared with a current going forward list. As far as the food bank, I would love to suggest that rather than doing a one-time monetary contribution, maybe we could think about an ongoing program that doesn't cost money, but that could be useful, ongoing, all the time. For example, I know I've extended the invitation a couple times, but every month I take packets to the Woods Cross Teen Center, usually around 100, 150, and those go back to their families every weekend. But those kind of programs can just be volunteer and they can be ongoing. I think, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas are always awesome for all the homeless shelters and all of the charities. And then there's like January till November. And sometimes we check it off our list and then we move on. But all of the people that benefit from that, their lives keep remaining in the same circumstances all the rest of the month. So I would love to think about maybe an ongoing program that we could help volunteer or help organize that would be an ongoing contribution to the food bank. And I'm, like I said, I didn't come with any thoughts on that, but I'm happy to think on that. I think overall high level, as far as if I were to add, because of our Hatch Park project, I agree with you. I think we need to really be fiscally conscious this year that anything that we do, we're doing that benefits the maximum amount of actual taxpayers in our city as possible. We're the stewards of tax dollars that are hard come by and hard to let go of in this high cost economy that we're in right now. And so I would just want us to look at everything that we do and say, is this benefiting our city as a whole? Is this benefiting the maximum amount of people, or are we getting down into the niche groups? Because I just think we should have to answer for every dollar and every project that we're taking on. So maybe if we can table, I could come back next time with some more like concrete thoughts. And I did read through my own previous thoughts last year and everyone else's priorities, and a lot of them still remain top priorities. I think corridors to our city can be improved aesthetically. I think it's important on the overall feeling of what North Salt Lake and who North Salt Lake is as they enter each corridor. And fire awareness is still a priority. However, I'm not on board, as everyone knows, with the ruling and fire awareness with a stick rather than a carrot. So, you know, that's obviously also something I made known. Other than that, I'm just going to pass the baton and stop rambling.
Okay. It was fascinating to read through this, see how much actually was accomplished and all the goals that we have and stuff like that. But as I read all this, like, it seemed really idealistic. And I was thinking about our meeting last week when we were going over the fleet issue with the fine-tooth comb, and Elisa brought up that we haven't raised taxes in this city in I can't remember how long, and she said, you know, we just want to make sure that, like, we're being so uber responsible with these dollars. And so as I read this, I thought, wait a minute, we are going over our fleet budget with a fine-tooth comb to make sure we can afford our police cars and stuff like that. And so if we are concerned about even affording our new snowplow, $344,000 for a snowplow and $73,000 for a cop car. And then I look at all these lists and, like, while I actually agree with, like, 90% of it, I'm like, but with what money? And so I come back to, like, I think it's a really great feather in this city's cap that we haven't raised taxes in a long time. And I think I saw, I don't know if he was talking about this year or next year, he says we're not, Ken said something like there's not a proposed tax increase. I don't know if that was for this coming year or for last year. It's for this year. Okay, so see, I'm like, kudos to the city. Like, I don't think until you get in it, you realize how well-run our city is and how great we've been with our funds. And I'm like, I just want to make sure we stay like that. I mean, I would love, I mean, we're going to come at you for an arts proposal. And listen, we just threw everything at the wall. Like, it is a ridiculous ask. And I anticipated 95% of it would be said, Heidi, you're up in the night. And I actually agree with that. Because as a taxpayer, I'm not going to give you one red cent of my money to put an art mural on a wall. That's not, I want you to use my taxpayer dollars to clean the streets, to pay for police cars, to pay for our police force, to pay for our fire safety. Those are the things I think we should prioritize. Now, that being said, I do think the reputation of our city is vital. It protects all of our tax dollars in our homes, our assets, our investments, our equity. And so I love, there's so many of these that ideas overlap about beautifying our city. For me personally, one of the most important ones is the four entrances, one on either end of Wedgwood Road and one on either end of Highway 89. So when people drive through or in and out of our city, they think, wow, that's a nice place to live. And I guess if I were to prioritize, I would say the south end first, coming in from Salt Lake, the south end of Redwood Road, the south end of Highway 89 would be the two places I would prioritize. And these are all wrapped together. There, I saw in here that we have hired a consulting firm to set a design standard. I love that. I love setting a standard that we move forward with all of our improvements and projects. And you know, like the entrance on the south end of Highway 89, we have this great corner right here. And we talked about like putting a train there, an old train car. So I don't think all four of these projects are gonna cost the same. One project might cost $80,000, one project might cost $280,000. So I don't know if we can put a budget on each one as we approach it. But my point is, I support beautifying our city, and I don't, again, I didn't come with a specific list, but beautifying our city, being fiscally responsible with what we already have is a big deal to me. And I would have to say, like, I had one more thought. The South and the cities, I just completely lost my train of thought. Maybe I should come with notes next time. My point is, I love the list, I love our ideas, but I think the budget for me, first and foremost, comes first. Before I spend a dime on a mural on a wall, before I spend a dime on any more entrances, I wanna make sure we can easily afford the expenses that we have, our fleets, our cleaning our roads, paying our police force, paying our city staff. So that's where I'm at on the budget. I didn't know if I was supposed to come to the exact list, but I can work on that.
Thank you. I'll just interject here for a second. I think it's safe to say that if there's something that's important to the council, we can find a way. And so I didn't want to throw a whole wet blanket on the whole discussion, just a small one. The other thing is, you know how the legislature puts a fiscal note on bills and stuff? It'd be nice to know, you know, the costs of things that sometimes we think, oh, there's not much of a cost, and we don't see the soft costs of the city staff or the police being involved. And so it'd be nice to have a quick and dirty fiscal note on everything.
Do you mind if I add something here? Having heard two comments, and I'm sure we'll talk with all the rest of you too, but I think the questions that our two council members have raised already are really appropriate questions to raise. All cities, governments go through these discussions every year. And so I think it's a good place to start to have these sort of policy discussions, high altitude. It's helpful to us to know what you're all thinking as we put this budget together. What would guide you? What would be the basis for you making spending decisions and maybe foregoing spending decisions because you don't think the time is right? These are all really important parts of what we need to do in the next 3 or 4 months. And so I just wanted to kind of, I guess I was responding to you, Councilmember Jackson, when you said you weren't prepared tonight. I don't think tonight was meant for you guys to all say, okay, I have this list of 8 things and I'm going to dive into the weeds tonight, because at some point in our budget discussions, we will go in the weeds, but I really appreciate kind of the high level approach that at least you two have taken so far. And I'm sure these other council members have similar ways to describe how they approach the budget, but it's a good starting point, I guess. And I would say we have a lot more discussion to do. And so don't be too worried that you maybe we don't say it all tonight, because it takes several meetings to get a budget prepared and to have everybody understand it. And just, I'll give you an example, just in the case of monument signage, I appreciate what you said, Mayor, to know generally how much things will cost. I think in our city, it's also important to know that we have various funding sources. So for example, out on Redwood Road, the cost of the monument signs come from an existing and a very robust community development project area. So they don't have to come out of, you don't have to weigh police officer cars versus monuments in that case. Now, I think it's always good to weigh how much things cost, but we do have an advantage as a city in that we have a strong financial structure that allows you to do some projects and that won't take away from personnel or salaries or, you know, basic services. And that you can do some of those projects depending on where you are. So anyway, thanks. I've talked too much, but
okay, Ted's gonna let me add one more thing. I remember my train of thought. I was telling you all I was so excited that we had a design firm. So this is from my design background. We got that survey. I loved it because it showed us all these options. Which facade would you pick on a building? And I love that because I think as a council we should all think about cities we've visited that we think are charming. Like, I mean, we're not the Cotswolds, but I think of the Cotswolds in England, just this charming old world red brick feel versus like when I go to downtown LA and you have like some of the modern museums and stuff like that. And so I think that we should all weigh in and have a consistent like vision. We want it to be like this charming, or you want it to be this like new, edgy. I mean, there is a whole feel, and I think that should run through everything, because when I was not on council, I saw on the arts committee the layout for some signage that we were doing, like, I can't remember, you brought it to us, and I was like, no, this is not timeless. 10 years from now, we're gonna be like, why did we do that? And so I'm like, I think we make decisions, we should look like a lot further out than what's current and what's on trend right now, because when we spend taxpayer dollars, I want it to be something that like 25 years from now, it's still charming. Like, I love downtown Bountiful. That they had done a great job on Main Street. It's charming, it's cute, the trees and everything. And I just want to make sure that we, with our lighting and our signs, have this consistent feel that gives an entire vibe to our city. And I'm not saying there's one right or wrong way, but we should like be consistent from like right now we're putting this thing up, going up here, but I think the next step might be this corner lot. And we need to set a standard and a stage and a vibe that's going to like 20 years from now, we're finishing the last project. Like, we're still consistent with that design style we chose right here on this council in 2026. So, sorry, thanks.
Ted, she took up part of your time, so.
It is my birthday, so I will reject that notion. One of the things that I love that we did is that we came to a set of priorities last year. And so I love the comments so far from my three colleagues here. And I think setting the stage with fiscal prudence makes a lot of sense. It is our clear number one priority to pay for and execute well the Hatch Park improvements. So it's not on the list of five, but it's not that we get success on that project through expenditure, but if expenditure really is needed to get success on the components, we ought to look at that and be thoughtful about it. And I think that I do want to make a note. I think fiscal prudence makes a lot of sense. Some of these things, I think, can be thought of as investment. And when we're talking about our town center, that setting the stage for a beautiful, vibrant town center, including with Hatch Park improvements and Highway 89 improvements over time, entices and welcomes the private sector to invest. And if that in turn leads to higher revenues in our town center, that is fiscally prudent through investment. And I just want to note that really clearly. So I think that relates to both Hatch Park and the quality of Highway 89. I don't think that this fiscal year, I'm not positive, but I do not think that this fiscal year is the time to spend real money on Highway 89. Rather, I think that with regard to Highway 89, we be opportunistic. We look at changes that come with the Davis-Salt Lake Connector, possibly with the I-15 project, although I'm not sure there's a nexus there, possibly with, fingers crossed, well, anyway, I'll just leave it at that. That we just be opportunistic. We wait until we clear off the books a little bit of our Hatch Park before we spend a lot of money on Highway 89. So I'm comfortable not really putting a lot of money on that project. I will be briefer, more succinct on the other ones, okay? On number one, the city identity, city motto, city marketing plan, I do think it makes sense to spend money there. I don't know how much. On item three, adoption of a housing strategy for use of RDA housing funds, I think that we need to be thoughtful about that. If we need to have a little bit of consultant expenditure, I think that's money well spent. Should we pencil 100? Is that too much? Do we need consulting? I'd look to Sherry and Ken and others to sort of weigh in on that. But if we need a little bit of a consultant expenditure to do a nice job with our housing strategy, I'm open to that.
Can I ask a question with that? Can we actually use those funds to hire the consultant?
Yes, we could.
Okay,
that's good. City app, I don't think it needs to be an expensive proposition. I think it makes sense for us to, if we're gonna do it, let's do it well. I think it has a big upside. The completion of one beautification project is the exception to the above, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's real money. We've been talking about this. I think that we can value engineer a project where we're trying to get great bang for the buck, but let's make sure that it actually really does beautify the spots that we're talking about with regard to five. So I guess that in my mind, these are inexpensive, Hatch Park notwithstanding, these are inexpensive items, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then five, we should look for that sweet spot where we're getting good value for our money. And I'll just reinforce that I think these are good, good priorities. Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question on the Ted's comments kind of stimulated my questioning, and it's maybe a Ken Sherry question. In your experience, just because I don't know, I would assume that when businesses are looking at coming into a city, They're mainly looking at metrics because they have to justify to investors, and their bottom line is they want to make money. And so when I hear people talking about making decisions on which city they're going to come into, I hear rooftop, 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 right? Like the radius, and obviously we know we have an issue with that being half a circle and all of that. But that's mainly what I hear from businesses. In your estimation, help me understand, how much do you think businesses really are drawn or pushed away by perception of a city, by rooftops, and by comparison, other similar businesses, and they look at their actual books and their revenue. What are they making? What are they losing? What businesses are succeeding and failing? From my perspective, I would assume that hard numbers trump all, but how much do you think?
I think those decisions depend on what types of businesses are coming. Mm-hmm. I've also, the whole time I've been here, been told we don't have enough rooftops in the town center. I think perception has a great deal to do with it. But I also think, and referring back to what Ted alluded to, I think placemaking has everything to do with it, which in our case will take a city commitment to partner, this is my opinion, to partner with a development group. And I've been looking to phase two of Hatch Park as a first place for a partnership to take place. Mm-hmm. I haven't reached out to developers. I think that we should in the next few months, certainly during this upcoming fiscal year. And that might be a good use of some consulting funds also to hire some economic development expertise. But I think the other thing that we've done, and we told you about this last year, is that we purchased a tool called Placer AI, which has been really eye-opening to us, and that will help us to understand how many people come into North Salt Lake, where they go. We can look at the town center, we can look at any location, and we can understand how many cars, how many trips, where people come from, where they're going to. And I think, and we've been in some training on those, on that tool. And I think as that tool comes more into focus and we're able to utilize it better, I think it will be a great tool. It will be a great tool for our development group too. They use Placer AI. So I don't know, Sherry, if you have anything you want to add to what I said, feel free.
I just want to say, I think it's a little bit of everything, right? So there's the rooftops, there's the metrics and all of that stuff that they use, but there's also the relationships that you build with people when you're trying to entice businesses. What is the feeling of the culture from the city representatives that meet with them? Because they don't want to come to a city where they're going to be treated rudely, right? They want to know that their business is welcome. And then if you look at the quaint little main street, right, in Bountiful that you like, and you had a choice, you were a business owner, would you pay a higher rent to go there, or is it more important to pay a low rent to go to West Valley, Redwood Road? I'm just picking somebody that's not us. But that's the truth of it. Like, they'll pay a higher rent if you have the atmosphere, and the street atmosphere is our responsibility to make it cohesive and make it a nice place to be and set that tone. So.
And then what are your thoughts? I really appreciate that. Both of those comments really helped me, not coming from a developer background. And then what about things like tax incentives? Would you choose a city that, you know, is business friendly and they're taxing? And what about that type of thing? Do we participate much in strategic, you know, incentives?
I think we have, and we have had some success stories with the city redeveloping property. I think the biggest retail success story is out on Redwood Road, where we created with one of the clearest purposes I've ever seen, our city created a community development project area, a huge project area, several hundred acres, and we projected the collection of tax increment revenues, and with purpose, we engaged with the development group. We shared the risk and we shared the upside with that group, and that's how we got the Lee's Marketplace and the shopping center. And that piece of us partnering is kind of like, I hear priming the pump used as an expression, and that area is still producing from 13 years ago when we put that first arrangement together. Now, I have some disappointments too out there, like the Kimball property, but that has more to do with the development group than it does with our failure or our effort, because the Kimballs know that we'll partner with them too, and they're just, for whatever reason, not moving fast. They're starting to move now.
Yeah, I think
they have
a lot
of investments
other places. But I was
really disappointed that we didn't get that sooner.
Yeah, I think they just have a lot of different properties, and so they have other properties that have been higher priority to finish those projects first. But I am hearing more and more from them, and they're talking to a gas station, they're talking to a hotel and some restaurants. So I do know they're out there marketing it right now. I hope that they'll put a lot more focus into it right now. But they've come in recently, just within the last month or so, to talk to me a little bit about it.
So you're thinking purposeful and incentives, probably continuing on the Redwood Road, and then maybe our city entrance here on the south on 89, possible hotel and restaurants, and then Hatch Park Phase 2. Is that kind of where you're thinking we're going to put purposeful?
Yes, we have an opportunity in the Eaglewood Village parcels remaining that we're exploring right now with the Brighton Group, and Phase 2 of Hatch Park would be another one. I think one of the challenges, I don't mean to go too deep here if we want to let everyone else talk. One of the challenges is to know whether or not your city is being taken advantage of. And so I think if we do this again, we'll want to hire the services of a third party to help us to say this arrangement that's being proposed is too generous to the developer or not generous enough, or don't pledge this, pledge that. And I think that will help us to feel like we're acting responsibly.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to hijack. It's so helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to, before we move on, speak to the Redwood Road CDA that I feel like has been such a success, and why I continue to advocate for not changing any of the proposed zoning to residential, because I think the original plan was a really good plan, and I don't think that we should sway too far from that. And then I want to first say, when it comes to the budget for next year, I share the similar sentiments, which I've also brought up several times in City Council, that I do feel like we need to be so careful about every dollar that we spend, and also recognize that costs go up over time. That's just the natural nature of growth, of personnel growth. And so there will come a time when we have to raise taxes, but I'd like to elongate that as long as possible. So I appreciate, and then I want to say thank you to all of the department heads, because as we go through different areas with a fine-tooth comb, it's so rewarding and satisfying to see the level of expertise and care that is placed into using the city funds, so that when we are redoing Hatch Park and we get complaints that the city just throws money away, I can speak with authority to say, actually, that's not true, and speak to different areas in the city and different departments and how you operate. So thank you for doing that. With regard to the budget priorities from last year, I really want to speak specifically to number one and number four. Number one, the city identity, the city motto, and city marketing plan. I would love to see some money put towards moving this forward. I think that this speaks to several high-level concepts that we've discussed again today, but creating some placemaking, making it more cohesive across the city, also recognizing neighborhood differences across the city, and I think that probably what that will look like is a third party, maybe something like a marketing plan. It could be like a PR group that's like, hey, if you want to control and be purposeful about the public perception of your city, here's how you can do that. And I think that's worth spending some money on this year. The next one is number four, which is the city app. I don't think that needs to be a lot of money. I think the easiest way to do that is to take the company that we use for our city website. I know that they have an app application that you can then pay for as well to add that onto our contract. However, they might not be the most effective or the most cost effective. And so to potentially look at other website hosting groups and the apps that they have as well. Or if having them not be the same is the best thing. But I feel like there are existing companies and we just pick the company we want to contract with. All right, and then there are three things that I want to add that are related to, but not specifically these five. I think we should consider if we are going to put some money towards grants of some variety for the individuals in the annexed area for changing their address. And if that's the case, that should be added to our budget as we move that project forward. The second is I'm still very interested in a trail around the city. I don't think that that is something that will take a lot of money, but potentially might have some signage or something like that. And that's something that I could talk more specifically with the Trails Committee or the Public Works Department. And then the last one is I would really, really love for the city to have a stage of some variety. I know we spent a lot of money running a stage for the 4th of July, and at many of the other city events, if we had some type of portable stage, it could change the nature of the events and the way that we run them in a way that I have heard in the committees that I sit on and in the events committee. People tend to want to have some type of stage, some presentations, but it's hard and to do that in a lot of the city spaces. So it would be worth it for me for the city to put some money towards. We've talked, I know before, like in the Hatch Park redevelopment process, we talked about like a trailer stage that could be housed at Public Works and then moved to different areas within the city. Something like that I would be in support of for this year as well, because I think it can get utilized over and over again throughout the year and throughout the different parts of the city.
That's it.
Can I just add to the stage concept? I know we spend some money every 4th of July up at the golf course, and maybe we should have a permanent thing up there. Tyler would be like, no, not my golf course. But I think it could be used and used more than just, you know, one time a year. Did Linda show you pictures by any chance of Saturday? We were over at West Bountiful's Park right by the freeway.
No, we didn't get a chance to talk.
So she took a couple of pictures of. There's a pavilion there that's quite large, but on one end, rather than have more tables, it has a stage. And I thought, well, that's a great idea. So maybe we incorporate something like that. And you could have done it at the Legacy, could do it at Hatch, could do it at Tunnel Springs even.
And can I maybe ask a clarifying question and make a comment? I have one of my really good friends runs all of the concessions for Layton City, and they have a really large concert series. Like, they've done it for a really long time, and they get all the big names, actually, and it's pretty robust, and they make a lot of money doing it, the city. And she said one of the big downfalls was that Layton City didn't have the foresight to think that it was going to grow the way the concert series grew. And so they put in quite a bit of money for a really small food section and not a great stage or building. And then they had to retro and put in so much more money. They had things even like not enough outlets because they just didn't realize. And so, one, I'm wondering with Hatch Park Phase 2, if we're envisioning that we will ever do a concert series. I know Bountiful has a concert series, Layton has a concert series. And if we do, I would love to propose that we do it right the first time. I know the rec center is also dealing with, we didn't build a long enough swimming pool, and so now it'll take millions to make it 3 feet longer. So I would propose that we do it with the projection that we're going to have a large concert series if we're going to start a concert series right off the bat so we don't have to retro. And then I'm wondering, other than the 4th of July event, with the portable stage, What events are you thinking? What other events do we have? I'm just probably unaware of stage used events.
Yes, and thank you for clarifying, because I agree. I think a permanent stage, I think one, we should have one within the city. I also know that is part of the discussion at Hatch Park, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm specifically saying a portable stage so that we could take it to several places. I think we could do it at the Halloween event. I think we could do it at the Kite Festival. I could do it at every single one of the Unity in the Community events, every single one of the food truck nights. We could get local bands to play, the local Battle of the Bands to come up, local dance troupes to come, local singing groups, high school choirs. Like, I think we could, every single one of our events could have a stage component.
Tammy?
So if we, I do have a question on the stage. If you do have that, where do we keep that, and who would put it together each time?
Public Works.
Okay.
John and David and I will put it together.
You'd probably get really good at it. I just wondered that. Okay, I too am grateful for the excellent way that the budget is handled, because anytime you look at it, you can tell where the budget goes and where the money is allocated, but also it's very careful. And so I feel like one time it is when we do raise the taxes that anybody could go in and look and know that it's managed very well, and they can not be too upset with us and see that it's been a while. So one day it will happen. I hope it's not soon. The things that I, a couple of things, others were, I like the city motto. I think it would be fun to be able to say, I live in North Salt Lake City, that blank, that we could say those things. So I'm
in a just group. North of Salt Lake City.
Oh, that's right.
You're welcome.
I forget about that, Ted.
All signs say North Salt Lake, and you're coming to 515. So.
We just need to put it on a sticker, right, and things. And then I love the city app. Today on Instagram, there was a reminder of it was snowing finally, and so don't park on the street. I think the city app would be really helpful for those things. Also, I would love on the city app if it will tell us when the trains. I think that's one of the big advocate for the city app is the delay of the trains. If you hit it just right, that's not very fun. I do think I try really hard to use the businesses in North Salt Lake. I feel like that's important. And so I go down to 89 a lot. And I love the things that are happening down there. There's a new, I think it's a medical facility that's coming at Lee's Market, and it looks good. It's coming up fast, which is nice. I do think another electronic sign or some kind of is needed on that north side. There's nothing there that tells what's happening. If there is, I just haven't seen it, but maybe just would help a little bit more of the people on the west side see things that are down there. And then I loved when the gentleman was here for public comment and talked about the skate park, and his son was very passionate about that too. And I just think maybe that's something we could look into, is putting a skate park in. I don't think that's going to be in the Hatch Park development, but maybe down on the in Legacy or something. I loved where he said he didn't want to do video games or things, and he wanted to be outside. I think that's worth looking into. So that would be the things I would add.
Thank you. Yes.
Would you like me to summarize?
Please.
What I thought I would summarize after you were done, and I really appreciate the city council's descriptions of how you feel about things coming up. And I thank you for all the thought you put into it and that you always put into it. From here, we are going to have Heidi help us to understand what our revenues look like. And you'll see lots of important information about that. You'll have a good sense of where we are. Like most cities in Utah, the first quarter of the year, we're gathering
forecasts. We're gathering information about what other cities are doing. The Western Region CPI number that we use every year was just published last year. So we're last week, and we're collecting all kinds of information about what will help us to help you understand what the next year is going to look like. So, and then we'll get into work sessions where we go through individual department budgets. Those department budgets are being prepared right now and submitted to Heidi and I, and then in the next 30 days we'll be able to share those with you, and kind of this budget will start to take form. I will take this discussion tonight, and we'll put some specificity to it and some cost estimates to it. It's interesting you raised the skate park, because I have some things on that. But
I'm sorry to do this, but I really wanted to stick with the five, and now I'm about to not do that. The Hillside Mountain Bike Trails plan, I think, will be in a place where we could pick some improvements strategically from that and execute them in that fiscal year.
Great.
And I'm not totally sure how much money we're talking about, but yeah. I do think we ought to be deliberate about that opportunity. And, you know, coming right off of a really well thought out plan to advance that makes a ton of sense. I don't think that needs to be an expensive thing, but let's build some momentum with our trail system.
Great. Thanks. And that's all I had, Mayor.
Sorry to do the late add on that.
I was done, and I wasn't trying to ignore you. But
there went our budget into the... Well, thank you, everyone, for your comments. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll start a regular session.